Welcome to the Kids with Big Emotions podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. And today we are diving into episode 116. What if it's not bad behavior, but a stress response? Here's the thing. You are doing everything that you can to keep the peace, but those outbursts still come. One moment your child seems fine, and the next they're yelling, they're crying, melting down. And you're left wondering, where did that even come from? We're going to talk about what's really going on underneath those behaviors. And a little bit of a spoiler alert, it's not about being manipulative or that they're being naughty. It's about a nervous system that's asking for help. So by the end of this episode, you are going to have this powerful new lens for interpreting behavior. One that replaces guilt and frustration. And instead, it's going to have that clarity, the compassion, and you'll start to know the first steps to take in helping a child with big emotions. So what this is today is this is step one of this framework that I have created. It's called the CARES framework. It's a model that I do use with parents. I've been doing this for years and finally put together that, oh my God, I do this framework with all of my clients. Now, does that mean that it's a cookie cutter thing and says a parent do this, that? Absolutely not. This is like the framework of like, okay, we need this first step, but how does that step look like for you? How does that step look like for your child? And we work these things step by step. And so today is that first step. This is where we're going into changing the lens. That's so CARES, the first C is changing the lens. We're going to go through the others as well as we're going through in this podcast, through this series now. So you might notice some resistance in yourself and you might have some parts in you saying, but my child knew better or they did it on purpose. And that's okay. We all have these thoughts and stuff as parents. Stay with me because even though I do know this lens and what I'm teaching you today, I still sometimes have those thoughts. So I want you to know they're valid, they're there. What we are going to do today is we're not going to be definitely excusing the behavior of these kids. We're going to start understanding the behavior so that you can start supporting them in the way that they need so that we can decrease these outbursts, so that we can decrease the struggles that they're having. When you see your child's behavior as more of a communication instead of defiance, it really does open the doors for everything else. Let's start there and let's dive into this episode with CARES, the first C of changing the lens. There's this big mismatch between the adult expectations and a child's capacity. And we quite often misunderstand, well, we're kind of brought up to believe that kids should know what to do. They should know how to act. They should know how to behave in every single situation. And we're kind of brought up, well, we are brought up to believe that a child who melts down when asked to clean up, or a child that doesn't listen when you ask them to clean up, they go and do something else, or they completely ignore you, or they have an outburst, or they yell at you, that they're either being defiant, they're being lazy, they're not pulling their weight, they're not meeting the expectations, when in fact they're overwhelmed. In every of those situations I just said, the odds are that child is overwhelmed in one way, shape, or form. A child who yells no isn't trying to be disrespectful. Quite often these kids, if we think about it, like they don't want to be yelling and screaming in public. They don't want their friends to see this. They don't want to be that person. It's quite often that they feel unsafe or out of control and their body is just reacting without their brain being able to rationally think. This is the thing is where, like with my child, let's talk about a situation. There's one that comes to mind with this where we were trying to get to Pokemon. And he wasn't packing his bag. He wasn't getting ready. He was all over the house. He was getting frustrated with me. And I'm like, why the heck are you getting frustrated with me? We're going to Pokemon, which you love. This is your favorite Thursday night. Your friends are there. What's going on? And at the start, I was on him. I was like, hey, pack your bag, get your stuff. What are you doing? And he just kept pushing back and pushing back, or I could see him getting heightened and heightened more. And I had to actually stop myself and go, okay, there is something in here. So I stopped and I was like, okay, actually, no, I didn't stop and pause at the moment. I was sitting there and thinking, well, we can stay home. What's the big deal? Let's just stay home then. He's like, I don't want to stay home. And he's getting mad at me. And I'm like, confused. I'm like, what the heck's going on? And that's when I stopped and took a step back. And I was like, okay. So I just stopped and said to him, okay, you don't want to stay home, but I'm also sensing that you're struggling about us going. He's like, yes. And I'm like, okay, why? He's like, I don't know. And so I said, well, do you want to go, but not to play? And instantly he calmed down. Instantly. He's like, yeah. And I realized at that point that he was so stressed, that he was struggling, that his nervous system was firing so much that there was something not allowing him to play. And this is a child that struggles with perfectionism, struggles with losing, needs to control things. And he has gotten so much better at doing that. He's gotten so much better at losing in Pokemon, at playing with his friends and enjoying the game instead of thinking solely about winning and being perfect. Thing is this day, his stress system was taxed. His stress system was telling us that it could not handle that today. And so I was like, okay, I'm like, well, why don't you come with me to bring your brother to Pokemon? You hang out with your friends. If you decide by the time it starts that you want to play, you play. If you don't want to, hang out with your friends as long as you want. And when you want to go home, I'll walk you home. And your brother can be here. I'll go pick him up at the end. He said, okay. Instantly packed his bag. We calmly got ready and we happily walked there. And he did. He was there, hung out with his friends. About 10 minutes into them playing, he's like, I'm ready to go home. I said, okay. I walked him home. He was fine. He went and hung out with his dad. And he was great when we got home because that's what his nervous system needed. So their nervous system, if we think of it like an alarm system, it doesn't wait for logic. It doesn't. It doesn't for us either. We might snap and be like, whoa, why did I just snap at them that mad, that loud, that quick, that fast? Because this alarm system doesn't wait for logic. It is when it feels unsafe. As soon as our alarm system feels unsafe, it's going to react. So if we go into the anatomy of our nervous system is like a muscle. The more that is worked, the stronger it gets, the quicker it reacts. And we have a couple of different nerves. We have our nervous system for our stress nerve, our sympathetic nervous system. And that's what kicks us into a stress state. That's the nervous system that slows down our digestion, that slows down our brain being able to think about things more than immediately. So big picture think, problem solve. It's what stops us being calm because we don't really need to sit and be calm. We're being chased by a lion, chased by a bear. We're in the middle of an emergency. We need to focus only on that fire right now. So we become so hyper-focused. Our senses go up. We get this adrenaline rush and this glucose rush to give us food to fight the fight, to give us the extra strength and power in our nerves. The blood leaves more of our organs and goes into our arms so that we have the energy, the power, the strength, the fuel, everything that we need to fight that fight. And that nerve becomes stronger and stronger the more that we work it. And our resting nerve, the one that allows us to be calm, to be able to actually big picture think and go, okay, what's really going on here? How do I handle this? The one that allows us to eat, the one that allows us to sleep, to be calm, to relax, that is not getting as much action when we have a child who is having outbursts all the time. They're constantly living in that stress nerve and it is kicking in all the time. So we think of that alarm system, it's kicking in and kicking in and kicking in. And so when we understand that it's kicking in and we have to start thinking what happens underneath that, you start thinking about sometimes, what is the one behavior that triggers me most? And what might my child's nervous system be trying to say in the moment when their nervous system is being triggered? So many of us were taught that this misbehavior of our kids should be a consequence. But if it is an alarm going off saying, I'm in danger, I feel unsafe, even if it's for asking them to brush their teeth, we've been told, no, this kid must be taught a lesson or they're never going to learn. But what if their approach, that approach of yelling at them is actually putting them in more of a fear of danger, putting them in more of a stress state, is kicking in that stress system more? Is it not doing more harm than good? And you might be sitting there, which I understand because this is what's drilled into us. If you let them get away with it, they're going to walk all over you. What if we change that? We reframed that way of thinking. to being if you understand the need behind the behavior and you meet that child where they're at and you learn to support that need and then teach them to support that need and teach them to feel safer in those situations, is that child not going to rise in the end versus getting upset at them, having that misbehavior, having the consequences when that child is really struggling and not feeling safe. So let's think of this. I love this analogy, this Coke bottle analogy. I was using this actually this week on a Q&A call that I was doing with those who are on my email list. So let's think every little stressor. We've got this Coke bottle. It's this glass bottle with the lid on it. One of those lids that you take like a bottle opener that you have to pop off, right? And you have this Coke bottle and every stressor, everything. If it's a sensory overload, if it's change in transitions, if they struggle to change and transition to things, if they misunderstood an instruction that you gave them, or they can't hold the instructions you're giving them, so they can't do the task you're asking of them. If they're being told no, and they're still struggling, all these things shake. The perfectionism kicks in, it shakes. When they feel that they're not good enough, it shakes. We don't see this stress building. So we can think of these in different ages too. Like we can think of this, a kid in kindergarten that is being asked to trace letters and their perfectionism and they go slightly outside the line, or they're being asked to do things that other kids can do and they can't do it, or they're feeling all the emotions of the chaos of the energy of the kids around them. All of these things are a Coke bottle shake. It might take them longer to answer questions and they're told that they're done and have to move on to something else. That Coke bottle shakes. So that Coke bottle keeps shaking and that's the stress building up for them. The thing is that when that Coke bottle finally explodes, that's usually what we're dealing with the behavior. We're telling them to stop, put that Coke back in that bottle, put all of those stressors right now back in that bottle, bottle it back up and act like that Coke bottle never was shaken. That's what we're telling them. That Coke bottle exploding is not really ever about what just happened. It's usually about everything that came before it. And yet we're taught to focus on the moment it explodes. We're like, put everything back in, clean it up. We punish that reaction and let's just restore order. Let's act like that Coke bottle never exploded and never figure out why it was being shook in the first place. If we start looking at this lens of that Coke bottle exploding, of the anxiety, the panic attack, the anger, the frustration, the yelling, the hitting, whatever your child is doing, or shutting down. You may have a child too that's completely shutting down. What if them not answering your questions? What if them turtling and being hiding under a pillow or just being so quiet, or the explosion isn't about what just happened? It's about everything that came before it in their day. So their nervous system couldn't hold more shaking. It couldn't hold. It couldn't handle shaking more of that Coke bottle and it explodes. This often happens too. They can hold that Coke bottle in. They can keep that lid on at school. But once they get home and they know it's safe, that's when they take that bottle off because the pressure inside that bottle is so much and they need to let it out, which is why sometimes when these kids get home, that's when we see it. And the parent and the teachers are like, no, they were good all day at school. They're such a great child. The thing is that Coke bottle is shaking all the time at school. And them actually releasing it around you is showing that they're trusting you. So what if we started asking ourselves, what might have shaken their Coke bottle today? And we reflect on what happened before the explosion, you really might be surprised at how much stress was already fizzing beneath that surface. We are going to go through in another podcast episode. I know that that one's coming up. It's part of the CARE solution where we can't ask them these questions. We can't problem solve. We can't find out often what was shaking that Coke bottle right away when they're in the moment. So I want to leave that with you now, that if you start asking them questions about, hey, what happened right now? What's going on? Tell me what happened today. That might have them explode even more because that is bringing up more stress and shaking that bottle more. So we're going to be working through that in future episodes, just so you know. That is not what we're doing now. What we're doing now is solely focusing on understanding that behavior. There's something underneath it. That's what this episode is about. So instead of asking, why did they explode? We're going to ask, how full was their Coke bottle already? It's not at all about cleaning up the spill. As I just said, we're not trying to clean up the spill now. We're not trying to ask what happened, figure it out, problem solve. Save that for later till you get more tools for that. Do not do that right now because that is where they're going to explode even more. It's about just starting to listen and feel that fizz. Just listen to the fizz. Find out how much fizziness is happening inside that child right now. Behavior is communication. A child acting out is a child who's dysregulated, not disobedient. Imagine you see a child drowning and yell to them to swim harder versus reaching out and giving them a life vest. I'm going to say that again. Behavior is communication. And a child acting out is a child who is dysregulated, not disobedient. So when you see a dysregulated child, it's like you're seeing a child that's drowning. And when you're yelling at them to stop, you're basically telling them, yelling at them to swim harder when you see them drowning, instead of stopping and reaching and giving them a life vest. And we're understanding that their stress, everything that is going on, they need a life vest given to them. They need support. That life vest is giving them support and compassion and caring and kindness and curiosity when they are ready for it, how they're ready for it. And that goes in stages, and you need to understand how to do that, which is what we're going to get into in future episodes. So I don't want to be leading you on and thinking, okay, I'm going to give them a life vest. I'm going to ask them what's going on. Because honestly, right now, if you do that with your child, when they're in the middle of that moment, when they are fizzing and fizzing and fizzing and everything is fizzing inside of them, that is not the time to ask them questions. They are going to explode even more. So if we go back to my child as well, I didn't ask him tons of questions. I was like, okay, what do you want to do? We figured out what would help his nervous system in that moment. I didn't go dive deeper and keep telling him things like, it's okay if you don't want to go. I didn't mention anything more. Once we decided what the plan was, nothing else was talked even more. And there are some kids, and I'm going to tell you that situation that I talked about with the Pokemon, we were able to actually have that little bit of a conversation only because we have done the other steps in the CARES method that I'm going to go through with you, where he can stay calmer, where he can hear things. I am going to make bets that many of your kids aren't there yet. Yet. That is the key. Yet. They're not there yet where you can even mention a couple of things and help them downregulate at the moment. They will get there eventually when they have the proper tools in the proper order. Right now, we're focusing on noticing. When I think about my son too, and I think about his Coke bottle and what was shaking, before that Pokemon night, he'd been out late the night before. He ate food that he doesn't normally eat. He had gluten and dairy, which for many kids is totally fine. For this one kid of mine, it's not. For my other kid, it's fine. When he has gluten and dairy, the next day I know is a struggle. The next day I know he's already starting and waking up with his Coke bottle already shaken a little bit. He didn't have enough activity in his day, which I know for him, he needs to help decrease that shake to calm down the fizz in his Coke bottle. He had more screens than usual, which is shaking his Coke bottle. Each of these things was either shaking his Coke bottle or not able to decrease the fizz in his Coke bottle. So when your child is having this explosion, you can start saying, wow, their Coke bottle was full. What were the shakes that they had today and yesterday? These things compile as well. So instead of rushing to consequences, we need to give them the space to reset. And later when they're calm, that's when we can help start noticing those signals. And these are all part of the CARES process that I'm going to be going through with you in the next episodes. So start telling yourself when they are exploding that this is a stress response, not a power struggle. It's not a power struggle. You're going to have parts kick in that are like, oh, they're not going to talk to me like that. Oh no, this isn't going to happen this way. Oh no, they need to respect me. Trust me, I have those parts. We all do. That's how we were raised to react. That's how we were raised to view it. We start switching that lens and being like, wow, this kid's having a stress response. Their nervous system is trying to tell me something. They need support right now, not to be punished for this behavior. They need support in order to downregulate that nervous system so they can relax. So when you stop reacting to the explosions and you start investigating and change the lens you're looking at it, the emotion changes for you, which instantly changes how they're perceiving you as well, that you become a safer spot and they can calm down easier. The pressure inside their bottle starts shifting and you start going from this punishing behavior to preventing the overwhelm. You go from that chaos to clarity. All right, I want to let this all sit with you. So let's just recap what we've gone over today. Your child's outburst might look like defiance, but it's a cry for help. When we respond with safety and understanding first, we open the door to real growth. Today, we started up with the step one of the CARES framework by redefining your child's behavior. It's not a power struggle. It's not disrespect. It's a signal. It's that smoke alarm going off. It's that signal of the smoke alarm saying, I am in distress. And once you start understanding that their nervous system is really trying to say that, then you have achieved that first step in the CARES framework. This is solely the first step, but this is a huge step because it takes that emotion away from you as the parent. I'm going through these episodes in order, except that I decided I was going to do this framework live for you guys here in these episodes. But a couple of episodes, I did one on episode 110 on the stress animals, which is step two of the CARES. It is knowing your animals, your stress animal. And so if you want to already go to step two and you have not listened to episode 110, that is step two in the CARES framework. So it's the awareness animals. It's called animal awareness. And it's when you can spot your child's stress patterns and your stress patterns, and you start learning, which we teach in that episode, how to start reacting to those stress animals in a way that works, because every animal reacts differently based on what your animal is and that child's animal, then you can start helping them calm down. So that's step two in the CARES framework. These are the two episodes in your foundation. So this was step one. Go back to episode 110 to go to step two. And then I am going to be, every other episode here is a solo, and we're going to be going through the R, E, and the five, which is the S in CARES. So if you would like to dive further, faster with me, and you're ready for support and figuring out where your child is on this learning ladder in that CARES framework, understanding how to support them, what the child needs in the moment, and how to build their own calm presence, then this is the work that I do in a support circle with groups, with parents just like you. And it's what I do one-on-one with parents as well as with kids. You can find the links below for the support circle, for coaching with me, in the show notes below. You do not have to figure this out alone. I am with you every single step of the way. All right. Take care. Any questions, reach out to me. The links are in the show note below, and I will see you in the next episode.